This is Jesus speaking. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Please be seated. Well, this passage is pretty emphatic that our words, the words that we speak, need to be carefully chosen. What may seem like trivial and casual speech actually carries a lot more weight and expresses a lot more meaning than many of us are commonly aware of. And this is why Jesus warns us in verse 36 that we will have to give an account for every idle word that we speak. What are idle words? Well, they are careless words. They are thoughtless words. They are words that we speak without giving careful consideration to what they mean. And this morning, I want to focus on a specific type of careless speech, which I'm going to call bad language. Not all bad language is the same, however. We see and we read in the Bible that the Bible does have things to say about bad language. We see that there are at least three different classifications or categories of bad language in the Scriptures. Blasphemy is different than profanity, and profanity is different than filthy language. Now, blasphemy is defined as words that revile, mock, or express contempt toward God. It's words that violate the glory, majesty, and power of God and or his works. So when the Jews claimed that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them that they had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Why were their words considered blasphemy? Because the Jews had expressed contempt for the Holy Spirit's work of casting out demons. They violated the glory, majesty, and power of God the Holy Spirit. Now, blasphemy is a very serious sin. It was punishable by death in the Old Testament, and Jesus said in the New Testament that certain blasphemies can be forgiven, but not the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin, the one which will not be forgiven. And so this puts blasphemy right up there as some of the most serious, if not the most serious, sin. So in our consideration of bad language, we need to understand that blasphemy is the most serious of these categories of sinful bad language. Profanity, however, is a close second to blasphemy. Profanity is often thought to be the same as filthy words, but there's an important difference. To be profane means to treat holy things with irreverence. To treat holy things with irreverence is to defile or make common that which is sacred. So profanity is any speech that defiles sacred things or treats them as common, as opposed to the holy things that they are. And because profanity is the mistreatment of sacred things, it typically involves words that we read in the Scriptures, words that we find in the Bible. For example, words like damn and hell are commonly used as profanity. But understand that it's not the words themselves that are profaned. It's how the words are used in our speech. When speaking with proper reverence about the just condemnation of God, there's nothing wrong with saying God damns sinners to hell. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's the language that the scriptures use to describe the righteous justice of God, and we are not sinning when we use these words in the same manner or consistently in the same manner with how the Bible uses them, which is in reverence for the sacred things of God. But when we use these words in common ways, like to express our astonishment over some incident or to voice our disapproval over something which happened, that's when these words become profanity. That's when it's sin. It's sin because we're defiling sacred things by treating them as common. We're taking some of the most powerful spiritual realities and wrenching them out of their proper place. These spiritual realities that are given to us in the scriptures must be respected and revered, and profanity takes these spiritual sacred things and throws them into the dirt. Now, filthy language is words that are crude, distasteful, obscene, or offensive. And as such, filthy language often takes the form of describing private and intimate bodily functions in rude and vulgar ways. One of the things that sets filthy language apart from blasphemy and profanity is that filthy language has a significant cultural element to it. What I mean by this is that the social norms of the day largely define what is distasteful, what is crude, what is offensive. And as these social norms change, as they have a habit of doing over time, the list of filthy words might change. Or as you transition from one social group to another social group, the list of filthy words within those social groups might be different. Now, this lack of objective definition from the scriptures concerning filthy words has incited some Christians to question whether speaking filthy language is really even a sin. After all, if we can't open the Bible and point to a specific chapter and verse where it says that such and such a word is a filthy word, then is it really sin to speak that word? If the word of God does not explicitly forbid us from using a certain word, then it must not be a sin, right? Well, let's not jump to that conclusion too quickly. Colossians 3:8 does say to put off filthy language from your mouth. So even if filthy language is a social construction, this verse tells us not to violate that social construction. And Ephesians 4:29 tells us not to let any corrupt word proceed out of our mouths, but only that which is good and necessary edification so it may impart grace to those who hear. And so can we really say that filthy language is edifying and imparts grace to its hearers? Ephesians 5:4 explicitly says that filthiness, foolish talking, and coarse jesting are not fitting for the saints, and that these things should not even be named among us. Should not even be named among us. And so, no, the Bible does not contain an itemized list of filthy words that are sinful for Christians to speak, but it does address the sin of speaking filthy words. And the way we know whether a word is filthy or not is a matter of spiritual discernment and love for your neighbor. Philippians 1:9 speaks of spiritual discernment. It says that Christians are able to grow in our discernment so that we can approve the things that are excellent. That's what discernment does. Discernment approves the things that are excellent. And by necessary consequence, it recognizes and disapproves the things that are not excellent. And I submit to you that 99% of the filthy words in our society do not require a whole lot of discernment to recognize that they should not be spoken. Obscenity and vulgarity are pretty obvious things to discern. And so don't ignore the moral compass that God has equipped you with. And concerning the love that you owe to your brother, Romans 14, 13 tells us not to put a stumbling block in your brother's way. And this means that even if you don't think a particular word is filthy, if somebody else does, then don't speak it. That would be an offense to your brother. That would be putting a stumbling block before your brother. That would be sinning against your brother for lack of love. Filthy language is not as grievous a sin as blasphemy or profanity, but it's still a sin. It's idle words for which we need to give an account, should we speak them. And I submit to you that the person who tries to justify his filthy language on the technicality that there's no specific chapter and verse that says such and such a word is bad, this person is sinning by suppressing the testimony of his conscience, the discernment that God has given to him, failing to show love to his neighbor, and ignoring the general equity of God's law. And what I mean by general equity of God's law are all those verses that say, put off filthy language from your mouth. Don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. No coarse jesting, no filthy talking. That's the general equity of law that addresses all of this matter. And if this person wants to point out that one of Paul's epistles uses a shocking word to arouse the attention of his audience, all this proves is that there are some rare exceptions when such a word can be appropriate. But to argue that because there's a rare exception, that this somehow makes speaking filthy language appropriate as a matter of daily discourse is simply wrong. It's a non sequitur. The person who argues this way and advocates for the casual use of filthy language is revealing something about himself that he probably doesn't intend to reveal, which is that his sinful heart is rejoicing in filth. His sinful heart is rejoicing in filth. How does this reveal that his sinful heart is rejoicing in filth? It's in the passage that serves as our reading of the law this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he said in verse 35 that a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And that an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil things. So if you're searching for technicalities and loopholes to justify the use of filthy language, what does that say about the abundance of your heart? If your desire is to engage in and participate in obscene and crude words that would flow from your mouth on a steady basis, what does that say about the condition of your heart? Brothers and sisters, where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your sin, remember that God is merciful and gracious. He pardons and he forgives all who truly repent of their sins. And if you are guilty of the sin of blasphemy or profanity or speaking filthy language or speaking any other form of idle words, then bring this sin to the foot of the cross where Jesus Christ has made redemption and has accomplished your forgiveness. And if you're guilty of any other sin, maybe not a spoken sin, some other sin that the Lord has burdened your heart with, your conscience is pricked with the guilt of your sin. Bring that guilt to the cross of Jesus Christ through confession and repentance, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so let's, brothers and sisters, participate in this very activity of confession. Let's take a moment to confess our sins to the Lord. We will have a time of silence, and during the silence, you have the privilege to come to the Lord, through Jesus Christ in confessing your sins and the private prayer communication that you have with our triune God. And after a suitable time of silence, I'll lead us in a corporate confession of prayer as well. Let's pray.